chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. We're having a baptism this morning, so naturally we're going to read about a baptism and we're going to talk about baptism a little bit. So Acts chapter 8, we're going to start reading in verse 35. If you, we're not going to do it for the sake of time, but sometime on your own, read the rest of this chapter so you get a little bit of background about what we're talking about here. But verse 35, it begins, "Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain body, came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for bringing us into your house this morning. Thank you for each and every person that's here. Just be with the service this morning. Help everything that's said and done to bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture here, if you know the story, Simon or he's been ordered by God into a certain place, and he sees the eunuch riding in the chariot. And if I recall correctly, the eunuch is reading somewhere out of Isaiah or somewhere in there, and God tells him to go join himself to the chariot. So he goes along and he asks the guy if he understands what he reads. And the guy says, how can I accept some man, show him? And he gets up into the chariot, and that's where we begin in verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, before all is said and done, this eunuch is going to be baptized in the name of Jesus. But before there is a baptism, Jesus needed to be preached. People involved in this needed to understand who and what Jesus was. Now, I believe everybody in here has heard the gospel of Jesus before, but this eunuch very possibly may not have. It hadn't been very long at this point since the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and he may not have known everything that he needed to know. The Bible doesn't really tell us what Philip preached, other than he preached unto him Jesus. He started at the place that the guy was preaching at. This is not part of our message on baptism, but when you're dealing with somebody about the things of Jesus, that's where you got to start. You've got to start where they're at with what they understand, and then go from there preaching them Jesus, expounding and telling them things that they didn't know about Jesus. I'm going to lay out a little bit of an outline here of what I think Philip preached to this eunuch. And this is just my thoughts. But before this man could be baptized, I believe he needed to hear of the deity of Jesus. You know, when it's all said and done, he's going to say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philip is going to preach to him and teach him exactly who Jesus was. There's a lot of people in our world today that'll say Jesus was a good man, Jesus was a prophet. Even some of the Pharisees said, we know that you're a prophet sent from God. They knew he was from God, but they didn't understand that he was God. Go back and study the first chapter of John, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If a person does not come to the understanding that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, come to save us, then they don't really understand what baptism or anything else pretty much in our Bible is all about. A person needs to understand who Jesus is before they get very far. And then he needs to hear about his need for Jesus. Now, I believe that this eunuch probably already understood that he needed something. Because he's gone to Jerusalem to try to worship. And he's on his way back from Jerusalem and he's reading the Word of God. So he understood that he needed something. He just didn't know what he needed. You know, we live in a world today where I believe people understand they need something. But they don't understand what they need. They grasp at every kind of religion and they grasp at every kind of doctrine because they don't understand. You know, everybody in here needs Jesus. What does the Bible say about our condition as humans? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a person in here that's good enough to go to heaven. Now, we don't... Religion today will tell you that you're going to be put on a scale, and if your good works outweigh your bad works, then God might accept you. I don't agree with that. But let's just assume for a minute that it was true. How many of us really think that our good works would outweigh our bad works? Even on our best day, we're not good enough. Then you could go even a step further, and the Bible says some of the things that we do for God are going to be tried by fire, and some of them are going to be wood, hay, and stubble and burn up. Some of the things that we do that people would say, yeah, that is a good thing to do, in God's eyes don't mean anything because we didn't do it for the right reason. Any person that we look at, anything that we do, we need to realize we've come short of the mark of God's glory. And without Jesus Christ, we have no hope. There's no help for us. There's no hope of a good eternity outside of Jesus Christ. Then he needs to hear about the deity of Christ. He needs to know who Jesus is. He needs to hear about his need for Jesus. He needs to realize that because he's a sinner, he needs a Savior. And then he needs to hear about the sacrifice of Jesus. You really think about it. What did Jesus do for us? He died for us. We don't know really many other people that have died for us, do we? You know, I believe we have some people that are willing to put their life on the line for us. I'm not degrading that. But I believe that Jesus knew each and every one of us personally, and he laid down his life for me. He laid down his life for you. He made a sacrifice specifically for you. I believe he made a sacrifice specifically for this eunuch. He needs to know about the deity of Christ. He needs to know that he needs Christ, and he needs to hear about the sacrifice of Christ. A lot of churches in our world today are not preaching the sacrifice of Jesus anymore. You know, I believe we see the crucifixion depicted in pictures and sometimes in movies, and we've seen all of that, and even some of the movies that they do, it's hard to look at, but I don't think they're anything compared to what Jesus actually went through on our behalf. If you really look at it and you really study it, the crucifixion of Jesus was very gruesome. You think about it, crucifixion was a horrible thing anyway. And then Jesus was crucified by people that literally hated him. And they made a point to make it as terrible as they could. Jesus went through a lot. He sacrificed a lot for us. So he preaches to him Jesus, and they come to the water, and the eunuch says, "See here, what is water? What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Is there anything, this is the eunuch asking, is there anything that's in the way? Is there anything that's hindering me from being baptized? Philip saith, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." What would have hindered him was a lack of belief. That was the one thing that was standing in his way. He understood who Jesus was. He understood his need for Jesus. He understood the sacrifice that Jesus made. But until he came to the point that he actually believed and accepted that sacrifice, baptism didn't mean anything. Belief in Christ must come before any religious act means anything. You know, we got millions of people across our world today that are going to church. Is going to church a good thing? Sure it is. But if you don't go to church because you believe in Jesus Christ, being there don't mean anything. If there's anybody in here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, God's not impressed by you being here this morning. You're not doing any good works or scoring any points or bettering your position at all by being here. Now, I believe if you're here and you are trusting in Jesus Christ and you're here because of your faith in Him, I believe that means everything. I believe God notices that. I believe God keeps record of that. But any religious act don't mean anything if belief in Christ doesn't come first. We looked in Sunday school at the Apostle Paul. He was a very religious man before he met Jesus. But none of that mattered at all after he met Christ. Everything changed. When he asked if there was anything hindering him from being baptized, the only limitation was belief in Jesus. A lot of people today are facing the same limitation. Not just concerning baptism, but concerning anything God might desire for them to do. You know, I believe before a person is baptized, they need to put their faith in Jesus Christ for their salvation. But believing in God for our salvation is not the only thing we believe in God for. I believe it's the most critical because it determines whether we spend eternity in heaven or hell. But there's a lot of Christians sitting on church pews today that are not doing anything for God because they're not believing in Jesus for their life. They might have trusted Him with their soul, but their trust stops there. They're not allowing God to have control. You know, baptism, we've already said this, means nothing if a person does not first believe in Jesus Christ. I'm going to take this a step further. We have religions in our world today that baptize people that have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Any form of baptism that precedes acceptance of Christ or does not require acceptance of Christ is nothing but a ritual. It's nothing but an act. For baptism to mean anything, their first has to be an acceptance of Christ as Savior. Sadly to say, a lot of people today are trusting in baptism for their salvation, when baptism that doesn't include belief doesn't mean anything. I don't know how many people I've knocked on their door or I've talked to them in public and I've asked them if they were on their way to heaven and they immediately proceed to tell me when they were baptized. I've even had some of them show me their baptism certificate. They could tell me the date they were baptized. That's not what I asked them. I didn't ask them if they had been baptized. I asked them if they were saved and on their way to heaven, if they knew Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, I don't care what religious rituals you've been through. You can have been baptized, you can have done communion, you can do whatever you want to do, but if you have not first accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, none of that means anything. If there's anybody in here this morning that has not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, today would be a good day to do that. There would be no better time. All right, now that we've covered that, what is baptism to a Christian? What we're going to do this morning, what does it mean? What's the purpose of it? First of all, I believe baptism is a testimony. and all of this stuff, me, Kim and I and Debbie and Miss Kimball, we sat down and we discussed all this. Baptism is a testimony. A testimony is something that you tell or something that you show. When we get in the baptistry here in a little while, it's going to be in an attempt to show something, to testify of something. First of all, it's a testimony to the world of your faith in Christ. You're telling the lost world, or you're telling the church and the world, but mainly you're telling the lost world that you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's kind of one reason why putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ it's important for that to come first, right? You can't give a testimony that you put your faith and trust in Christ if you haven't put your faith in Christ. Don't make much sense. But it's a testimony to the world. You're telling the people around you what you believe. And you're telling people that you believe in Jesus Christ. Baptism is a testimony to the church, too. To the church, baptism is a testimony that you're a Christian and basically that you're ready to join the team. That you're ready to get on board, you're ready to be part of what the church is trying to do, what the church is trying to accomplish. Baptism is a picture. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is not still on the cross. Jesus is not still in the grave. Jesus has resurrected even further than that. Jesus has ascended and is at the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for us. Who was it? Stephen, I believe, that was stoned actually with Saul, or who was later going to become the Apostle Paul, looking on. And he says, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, we're testifying, we're showing a picture that Jesus did die. We don't have salvation if he didn't die. He was buried. Anybody that is dead, he is buried. But not only that, but he resurrected again. The resurrection is the important part of that. Jesus can die for our sins, but if he don't resurrect, we're not saved. We're showing a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. This picture is to the lost a lesson in the gospel. Anybody that's part of a baptism service or attends a baptism service that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior should leave with a clear understanding of what the gospel of Jesus Christ means. To the saved, it's a picture of what God has done. It's a reminder of our own salvation. And I had my phone out this morning, and one of the pictures that I have on my Facebook page is my baptism. Y'all that know me know that Brother Kimball baptized me. He's in the picture, and I showed the picture to Debbie, and I said, you know, it's kind of interesting that he baptized me all those years ago, and now I get to baptize a member of his family, and I consider that an honor. But it's a reminder of what God has done for us. We don't deserve to be able to do this. We don't even deserve to be able to be here. You know, we're in the house of God. We're around the people of God. We're studying the Word of God. And none of us deserve to be here. Anytime we come into the house of God, it's a reminder of what God has done. But this baptism is a solemn occasion. It's a picture where we remember the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. We remember the sacrifice that he's made for us. So baptism is a testimony. Baptism is a picture. And I believe baptism is a commitment. A commitment to follow Christ with your life. just like you've trusted Him with your soul. Basically, a commitment to allow God to have as much control in your life as He has in your eternity. You've asked Him, when you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, you've asked Him to come in and forgive your sin, to cleanse your heart, and make you righteous to stand before God through His blood. Our life needs the same thing. Our life needs God's fixing and God's arranging and God's cleansing. I believe you're making a commitment and saying, God, I've trusted You with my soul. I'm ready to trust You with my life. I hope I'm not out of line by saying what I'm fixing to say. The eunuch here, immediately, before he even publicly announced that he accepted Jesus Christ, he's ready to take that next step. He's ready to say, okay, I've trusted Christ, now I'm ready to be baptized. Kim that we're talking about this morning, she didn't do that. It's been a while. From what I heard, people have been praying that this day would happen. But she's come to the point where she's ready to make that commitment to say, I'm ready to take the next step. Remember, salvation is the first step. The first step to get anywhere. But I believe baptism is the first step in obedience to God after salvation, where you're saying, I'm ready to commit to trust God with my life, allow Him to have control, and follow His direction. We've already said it's a testimony to the church that you're ready to join the team. I believe baptism is a commitment to take part in the things and in the house of God. When you get baptized in a particular church, you're basically making that commitment that you're going to be part of His house. You're going to be part of what they're trying to do. In fact, when we have somebody to come up to join, and this happened with Kim, when we have somebody to come up and join, we want to know whether they've been baptized in a church of the way we call it, in a church of like faith. Have you ever made that commitment to be part of the house and the things of God? And then I believe you're making a commitment to be a witness for Christ. Like we said, this is a testimony. This is a picture telling people what you believe about Jesus Christ. But not everybody you know is here this morning. I would say there's probably only a handful of people here that were present the day I was baptized. There probably are some of you here. You didn't see, if you weren't there, you didn't see my commitment to Christ. So I've got to carry that on by being a witness for the things of God. The people that weren't there to see and hear and be a witness to what I believe, I've got to show them now. I believe baptism is a commitment to be a witness for Christ. A commitment to take part in the things of God, and a commitment to trust God with your life from here on out. We don't know much about this eunuch after he was baptized. We do know that as soon as he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that there was a commandment for the chariot to stand still, and they went into the water and took care of the baptism right then and there. In fact, as soon as they come out of the water, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, but he went on his way rejoicing. What was he rejoicing about? You know, he had went to Jerusalem searching. He got to Jerusalem. He worshiped the best he knew how. He might have gotten the copy of the Word of God that he was reading while he was in Jerusalem. If he did, he probably purchased it for quite a sum of money, because they were all handwritten at the time. He had gone to Jerusalem to try to find the things of God, and when he's on his way back, remember, he's been to the holy city. He's worshiped in the temple. He's got a copy of God's word. And on his way back, he's asked the question, "Do you understand?" And his answer is, "How can I, except some man show me?" He's been to Jerusalem. He's been to the house of God. He has the word of God, but he still don't get it. He still don't understand. Somebody's got to take the time to show him who Jesus is, what this is all about. If you're in here and you're saved, somebody has taken that time with you. Somebody's taken the time to sit down and show you from the scriptures who Jesus was. If you're in here and you're not saved, there's people that are willing. There's probably a dozen people or more in this room that would like nothing better than to spend the rest of their afternoon with you, showing you from the scriptures who Jesus was, if that's what it took. If you're in here and you're not saved, this baptism is a picture to show us what Jesus did, to show us what we believe. There would be no better end to this service than to see somebody come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you're in here and you are saved, and you have been baptized, if you haven't been baptized, that's something else to talk about altogether. But if you have been baptized, you've made this testimony, you've showed this picture, you've made these commitments. The question is, are you still living up to the commitments that you made? A lot of people have accepted Christ as Savior. They've showed the picture, they've given the testimony, they've made the commitment. But a few years down the road, they're not living up to those commitments like they should be. They're not doing what they ought to be. If you're one of these that have been saved and you have been baptized, but you're not living the way God wants you to be, this would be a good day to just remember what all this means. Remember the commitments that you've made and ask God to help you reestablish those commitments. We're going to ask everybody to stand before we start with the baptism. We're going to have a brief invitation, so if we could have our musicians come. If there's anybody in here that's not saved, now would be the time. If you are saved and maybe you're not living up to the commitments that you've made before God, the altars are open where you can ask God for his help.
Page number 17.